Our reading for today in the staff devotional is a reading by a great preacher, teacher, G. Campbell Morgan, based on the first verse of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. I've noticed that having our theme as the Word of God this summer, I've been here with the various ministers that have been here before me. We are in our seventh week, and so we've had five ministers, or six so far. And we've often been led to Psalm 119 this summer. And I suppose those of you who have been here through the whole time are almost ready to recite Psalm 119. You've read it so many times. It is possible, by the way. I've known people that have learned Psalm 119 by heart. It seems like a great challenge to me. I mean, almost insurmountable, because so many of those words are interchangeable, and so many of the thoughts are repeated, and just to follow through 176 verses, I don't know if I even want to accept that challenge. It is a challenge to me. Being of a competitive nature, when you hear that so-and-so did it, you want to show them that you can do it too. Mario was telling me that he knew someone who was rather competitive. And I've known people like that too. They're usually pretty good people, aren't they? Sister Sarah is a little like that. She doesn't like to lose in these competitions that we have, you know. She's a real winner. I'd never characterize Sister Sarah as a loser in any way. Psalm 119 is possible to commit it to memory. But it has been, whether you know it by heart or not, it's been a great blessing to us this year. And this particular reading is such a good reading, because G. Campbell Morgan says that the first stanza, the first eight verses, really sets the tone of the whole psalm for us. And since we're directed to it today in our devotional reading, I'd just like to read the psalm with you. No, I want to read a couple sections of it with you, all right? But first I'm going to read what this says, because I think it's worth reading. This little devotional from this morning, he's speaking about the opening stanza. So I'm first going to read the first eight verses, and they go like this. Perhaps you'd open your Bibles, if you have them, with you to Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. The first eight verses, the opening stanza, and he says this about the opening stanza. By the way, those of you who are looking for errors in these spelling errors and punctuation errors and printing errors, there's one on this page, by the way. You weren't here. I said that the person who finds the most errors in the book, I'm trying to get them to read it carefully, you know, will get a prize. And we do have some, and there's one on this page. Maybe I should tell you what it is, because it's a little bit different. No, maybe I won't. Maybe you'll see it. Oh, it's something to see. Something to see. It has to do with the format. Okay? All right. I'm not sure if you'll find a spelling error here, but something else. The opening stanza of a most wonderful song strikes the keynote of its music and gives us a summary of its spiritual teaching. Notice the broad outline of suggestion. The way of life is recognized, the way along which all men must walk. Men are seen walking along that way who are perfect, that is, upright. Such are declared to be blessed, that is, happy. The first line then declares that on the way of life, uprightness is the secret of happiness. The second line tells the secret of that integrity, and so of happiness also. The men who on the way of life are upright and happy are men who walk in the law of Jehovah. That is the motif of the music. It runs through the 22 strophes and the 176 stanzas. We would say, he's calling the verses the stanzas and the sections the strophes. Okay. Anyway, those words are not often used, are they? Did I say that word right? I've only heard it in German, that one strophes. That must be an English word, and I'm hoping it's spelled right. Anyway, with constantly changing expression, but with unvarying persistence, here the great word Torah is used for law, the word which to the Hebrew stood for the law, being the word employed to describe the first division of the Bible, that which we call the Pentateuch. In other verses, other words are employed, and the word Torah needs the others to complete the idea. Let them be considered, and it will be seen that the conception is that of the will of God made known to men. Thus the psalm is a glorious setting forth of the glory and perfection of the will of God. 2. Of the integrity and safety in every regard of the man who walks according to that will. 3. Of that will, therefore, as the secret of true blessedness, the very wellspring of joy. Apparently unconsciously, that is, without intention, the song reveals the fact that a man who obeys the will of God as revealed comes to a personal fellowship with God. From the beginning to end, the singer sang as one who had personal knowledge of God and direct dealing with Him. In my reading, I gave a hint as to the thing that you're looking for. Anyway, the will of God made known to men. We talked about that last night, how Jesus said, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is in my heart. Just before they went out to the cross, Jesus went with his disciples to Gethsemane. Remember, he said, let's go, that the world may know that I love the Father. Arise, let us go hence. He had that in his heart. It wasn't something that he was just welcoming or relishing. To bear your sins and mine on his sinless soul, on his thorn-crowned head, our sins, all our guilt was laid, that he might make us whole. And yet, that the world may know that I love the Father, he said, I come to do your will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. And that's really what this is about. Doing the will of God, loving the will of God, learning to know it, love it, and do it as the secret of true blessedness. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord and seek Him with all their heart. There's that wholeheartedness that's spoken of. How blessed, how happy are such people. Now in our church at home, we most every Sunday morning read something from the scripture together. And we stand and read a passage of scripture. And I like to do that. And here it's so hard to do that because we don't have Bibles in the hymn book rack. See, what we have there is everybody can read together. If they don't bring with them the translation that we use, we just say, take one out of the book rack and we'll read together. So how can I get us to read together when we have all these different translations here? And have it sound right. Here's how we're going to do it. Take the hymn book, and in the back, under the scripture readings, number 55, the back of the book. This is, by the way, alphabetically arranged. W's, Word of God. Okay, Word of God. And what we have here are verses from three separate books of the Bible, 2 Timothy, Psalm 119, and Hebrews 4. I wanted to read the first two sections of Psalm 119 this morning, and the second one is right here, embedded in this reading. And all three of these sections have been referenced by us in these days. So it doesn't hurt for us to read them again, 2 Timothy 3 and Hebrews 4. But then the inside of this Bible sandwich, if we can call it that, is this second part of Psalm 119 that I wanted to read this morning. And this way we can read it together, starting with the third verse, wherewithal, and ending with, I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. Alright, so the bulk of this, number 55, is the second portion of Psalm 119. Let's stand together and read God's word. Together, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let us be seated. This is God's word, which he has promised to bless. Now what I would really like is from Psalm 119 verses 1 through 16, if there's something there that strikes you and you would be willing to share a blessing with your brothers and sisters here, that would be a good thing. Someone said to me, and I remember this, we did this every single morning years ago when Brother Gardner was here. We read a passage of scripture, sometimes a very long one. We could go through the whole room, and everybody would read a verse. And then he would have us speak on that verse, or not necessarily the verse we read, but something from the chapter. And maybe you're an old timer and you missed that. You missed that opportunity. You're getting it this morning. Psalm 119, 1 through 16. There must be something there, especially after all these times. Some of you have been here for several weeks. Something there that grabs you, that you could bless the rest of us with. Come, feel free.
In verse 9, you mentioned a lot in third period, this verse. It's, how can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? So that's in my version, but we talked a lot about that and how a lot of people have trouble with keeping his way pure, and the answer's like direct and blunt right there.
My translation says, happy instead of blessed, but happy those who have his way is blameless, and happy those who reject God's decrees. But God grants peace and through his way.
Yes. That's the meaning of the word blessed, happy. I think some people kind of don't like that definition because they think blessed is more holy than happy is. But I think one way to bring those things together, what makes you happy is one thing sometimes. God wants to bring these things together too. But what makes him happy, or what is happiness as God would define happiness? That's blessedness. Blessed, blessed. So, in other words, God being always right and he being truth, this would mean the truly blessed are the truly happy, and vice versa. Right? As God would see this, he wants his people to be holy and happy, and they really go together, don't they? Walking in his ways, living unto his praise, blessed are they, happy, happy are they. And that's true happiness. Thank you, Bianca and Nina. Good.
Struck by the I wills here. So we have some meditations or some thoughts on God's word in general, but then there are a number of things that this psalmist tells us we resolve to do, or that he actually resolves to do. So I will praise you. I will keep your statutes. I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And these are things that we take on us as a resolve and for God.
I have an interesting version that my dad likes to read at my church. It comes from the Message, and I hope that it's kind of similar to him, but it says you're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right, you don't go off on your own, you walk straight along the road that he set. And it's interesting to me that we are given all the commands that we need, and if we would read the Bible and learn it and understand what God wants us to do, we wouldn't have to deal with a lot of the stuff that we deal with, and that God gives us the direction we have to go.
Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Mm-hmm. It seems like a paradoxy of the I and do not let me. And what I like is that the I is dependent of do not let me. Mm-hmm. You know, we look too much to the I to the self, and we feel that we need to depend on our strength. But the way he put it is that the self depends on God. You know, when you see the word human beings, it should be created human beings, because the only one who is a being is God. He has selves by, he has life by itself. We don't have life by ourselves. We depend. We depend on God to experience life. So the I is defined by God. So I like that that relationship.
You can follow through with that thought in the next verse, where it says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And that was just kind of also a reiteration of what we heard last night, how God wants us to know that scripture, his word. And yes, that's the part we need to do. We need to search it, we need to learn it, so that we might not sin against God. But we couldn't do that without the word, without him. I'm just so thankful for all the word represents and all the help that it gives us.
Thank you.
That's one of my favorite Bible. I learned it 37 years ago when I first came to the world. And I worked in a prison ministry, and what I teach the women is have a little God box. And so when you have a prayer request, you take the God box and you put it into the God box. And then you know how, and these young people probably know, you know how you obsess and you keep thinking about the request and thinking about it, and your mind keeps going over and over again. Well, you say, okay, I put this request in the God box. And so God has it now. But then you have to fill your mind with something else. You can't leave that hole in. So you have a prayer that you say. And so maybe it's Psalm 23, where you have, you know, you have some scripture that you put in your heart. If it's anger, a prayer on anger. If it's self-pity, a prayer on self-pity. But you put something else into your heart. Like, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against it. So you put another word in your heart. And then when this problem comes up, you say, I gave it to God. And you have this word in your heart.
In verse 6, my version says, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. And I like that word fixed here, that our eyes would be stuck on God. I like that the tense is having my eyes fixed. So at all times we're looking at God. And keeping our eyes on Jesus and the Word of God. Anytime I read this, pretty much any verses in this psalm, I'm just struck by the love for God's law and God's Word that the psalmist has. And I pray that I would keep my eyes fixed on God's commandments and love His Word and His promises.
Yes. When I read the whole thing, I'm impressed by the first word, blessed or blessed. Like Jews, regular Jews, when they have their services, they say blessed or blessed, or that word is used over and over and over and throughout the Bible. It's like, I don't know why it's used so many times, but that's the beginning word. Why is it used so many times? Why is it the beginning?
God wants to bring you into the ways of blessedness. Jesus has it in the Beatitudes too. First words, the opening of his Sermon on the Mount. You're right, it's often used. God wants to bless his people, right? And truly blessed.
In Kent Hughes, it's a book, Matthew, he does a study in Matthew, and he writes about the Beatitudes, about the word blessed, and he uses approved as a synonym for blessed, In other words, you know, we are in God's will or doing what pleases Him. When, you know, that can be used instead of the word blessed. I've always been blessed by that thought.
Thank you. That's great. I can bring that around to happy, though. Because God's favor, His smile.
He's not too crazy about happy.
My translation says joyful. Our people of integrity. And I just like the way that this psalm opens up with, like, this is the way to joy. If you want to experience God's favor, then this is it. And I really like 5 and 6. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I would not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. And, you know, recognizing that this is the way to joy. And then recognizing that my actions don't always reflect that there's a desire there, that when I compare my life with God's commands, that He would give me the grace to reflect His word and His decrees and to walk in that way of joy. And I'm thankful that that's His desire over each one of us, you know, that we walk in His favor. He desires to bless me and He desires to help me to walk in that way.
James Boyce has a commentary on the Psalms, and he deals with quite a few of these sections separately, has separate chapters on them, and on verses 9 to 16, I believe the title is something like Starting Young or Starting Early, and that's a really good passage. I've enjoyed it many times, seeking God with a whole heart and guarding our way according to His word, storing up His word in our hearts, and then praying, Lord, teach me your statutes. And then he says something about speaking them. That comes out in the 13th verse, with my lips I declare. There's something about saying God's words that helps you get them into your minds, into your heart, speaking them forth, and I rejoice in the way of your testimonies, more precious to me than riches. Fixing my eyes on your ways, I will meditate on your precepts and delight, find my delight there. And there's no better time to start than right now, whatever our age is. Always we can recommit our lives to living according to God's word more closely, more faithfully, and by His grace He will help us to do so. Brother Paul Munsinger gave us a verse at one of the staff meetings down in the city. He said, I'm so thankful for the theme of the Word of God, and I'm glad for the theme verse that you have, that you've chosen, but I have one too. And he gave us the 11th verse, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.